Got butter in his shorts, huh?
There will be soon. Or chocolate. I don't know which one. Here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show! All right,
that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Bingo! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll lick it bad. For the strolling, go direct to DLNTS.org. And I see channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the gather's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 883 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Keep him warm.
We have Joel, who's churning butter, I guess. And we have Joe.
Yep, that's me.
So, while Joe's... What happened, Joel? I don't know what you sent him on there, Joe, but he's just churning that butter like crazy.
I think it might be my internet connection might be unstable.
That's probably what it is.
Say it ain't so. Time Warner? Is that it? Time Warner?
Spectrum?
Yep. Both of those apparently working together.
Yeah. So anyways. It's weird. I've been on the show for like 4 or 5 years now, and I'm still the new guy. We need some fresh blood.
Well, there you go. But we do have some business to talk about. We got an email this past week, and I've been called out a second time for our abusing our HostGator unlimited storage privileges.
That's much better.
So what it is long time ago I signed up for HostGator and they said unlimited storage, and I took that at its face value, unlimited storage. So that's where all the show files go.
How many terabytes?
And a few years ago I got an email from them in support saying, hey, you got awful lot of files over here. You're taking up a lot of storage space. Our terms of service don't allow this as a backup storage. And I was like, it's not backup storage. That's where we keep our show files.
It's primary storage.
Right? It's primary.
It's not backup, right? And then I got an email back from somebody else, like a manager, said, don't worry about it. We're fans of the show. Keep on doing it. I'm like, but I always felt a little guilty about that because I am kind of taking advantage. And I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload the old shows to Internet Archive.
Yep.
And
yep.
I wrote a script to do that, and I did. And then I never did anything with it after that, right? I just got the shows. I got a bunch of them up there. So when I got this second email, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, when actually, oh crap. I could probably see this. Okay, so this was only 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. It was in February of 2018 that I did. So almost going on 3 years now when I uploaded those shows. And so I had to go dig out my script, and I had to go find the account I was using it as, and all that stuff, because I have my own account on Internet Archive, and then there's the Tech Show account. So long story short, me of today is looking back at me of 3 years ago and saying, you idiot, because I made a really stupid mistake when I uploaded all these files.
Uploaded it without the numbers?
No. I had a problem with this, right? Because one thing is, not all of our shows have like the exact same
file names.
ID. ID tags and stuff like that, what was end up happening is when I would pull out the ID tags and you based the upload off of that, it wasn't consistent. It was getting cut off and things weren't all proper and everything. So all I did was I scrapped doing the ID tags and I just uploaded it like the show. Here's the name. Here's the show, like the number and the file type and all this stuff. And I did all that, but stupidly, the identifier is what goes in the URL and what, you know, is everything is based upon on the identifier. And I didn't tag the identifier with like the file type. So I uploaded like all the MP3s and now it's just like the format is up there. The identifier is like TLLTS_episode-date. And that is like, so episode one is TLLTS_01-09-24-03, which follows the format of our file name exactly. But I didn't tack on there, which I should have, is the file type. So now if I want to do aug, I have to do like dash aug. And if I want to do speaks, I have to do dash speaks. But then because I had like episodes 1 to like 30 in MP3 and I couldn't find them in the 30 to like 60, I have like 30 to 60 is aug. So they all have like the same file identifier, but they're like MP3 and aug. So I can't change the identifier. And I can't write something that will easily like create a link like we have it now onto from the website. Like you click on it, take you right over to easily do that because I don't know which the format for MP3, what's the format for aug, what's the format. So this is what I'm thinking of doing, right? I'm going to take the lazy way out because this is all about being lazy, right? Well, it took me 3 years to get here from the original job. So what I'm thinking about doing is I just go over to Internet Archive. I put in a little advanced search for all the episodes, put them in an ascending chronological order, and copy that URL onto our RSS page where you get all the things, and say for our older episodes, just click this link on Internet Archive and they're all listed for you. Any objections to that?
No.
All right. Well, then that's what I think I'm going to do. And then I'm going to, I got to clean out the database over there. What I'm thinking of doing, I'll leave up to like the last 50 shows, up there until it gets to be an ungodly number again, and then I'll move them all over to. Well, I gotta get in the habit of when I upload the show to there, I need to also get it uploaded to Internet Archive on a regular basis.
So the hoagie guy will be on Internet Archive.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, I gotta. What I have to do now is I have to go through like. Figure out where I stopped with what shows, and like I found some more old files and stuff, and I should be able to fix the missing files, but I'm going to upload them with file type in the name so that people can differentiate. But that's mm-hmm. the way it goes when you
and script it, man, because you got to be all about the automation, right?
Well, I already have the scripts. I have the scripts to do all this. It's just I just need to adjust the script and just tack on the file name to the identifier, which I should have done 3 years ago when I first did this. It's just I'm lazy. I'm just too lazy to do that.
That's right.
And when they said, don't worry about it, I took them at their word. Don't worry about it. And I knew this was going to come around again. I'm like, you know, if I'm going to abuse it like this, I'm going to get called out. And they rightfully should call me out on it. I mean, taking advantage of a situation.
But that's like, well, talk about like a scripting or automation project gone wrong. Well, I won't say wrong, but... At work, we were migrating from, we had like a box folder just full of key passes that we were using for storing passwords. And And they decided that they're going to migrate all those into AWS Secrets Manager, which...
Oh, boy.
Basically is, you know, basically is Amazon Web Services encrypted key password storage, essentially. So, and you're supposed to be able to use it with, like, automation and all kinds of crappity crap like that, okay? Well... What the bad part is Secrets Manager requires a username to be in the KeePass field, at least in the automation they were using to upload those into. Okay. So, but unfortunately, in our KeePasses, we have several things that don't have username fields that we need the passwords for. Specifically, they're actual hashes for key stores. Okay, so it's a when we log into the main admin application on its server, which it's a Java application essentially. So if you have the vault cleared, then you have to enter the password and like the username and the key store password as well as the password. Okay. So if you don't have the key store, you ain't getting in. Granted, the key stores are usually something dumb like PRDAS or something like that. You know, they're not extremely complicated. In fact, we probably know most of them by heart, but because there was no username field and because AWS Secrets requires that to store a secret, they're not in there. So it's like, we're going to have to manually update them all somehow. Which I'm like, great. Either that or they're going to have to figure out a way to update the KeePass so that they can run the KeePass back through the automation to update the Secrets Manager. But... the upside is, though, is that now we don't have – luckily, they didn't put any, like, expiration dates or anything like that, but it can actually help you manage those and expire them out for you and things of that nature. And like I said, there are APIs and stuff so that, you know, if you have the appropriate AWS keys, then you can use the passwords stored in Secrets Manager to do your automation. So it's eventually going to make things a lot better. So, but when I noticed that today, they had a call on there and showing kind of talking about the project and the status of it. And that's the first thing I asked in there. Say, hey, we got these vault passwords and these key store passwords, and they're not in there. And they say, well, it's because the username's required. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, I didn't write that. They had contractors do all that, so. No, but that's my life as of late with work. So, but, and I'm in a gift exchange.
With yourself?
With Gear Diary. No, Gear... Well,
oh, Gear Diary again, one. Huh?
Yep. Which, I have to say, I haven't wrote that much for them this year. I need to start writing more. They usually... You know, we use Elfster for that, usually. And all I do is I have an Amazon gift list for that. I just pasted that into Elfsters. So, one of the things, and the kind of wild thing is I can actually ruin my surprise because it'll take stuff off of your list in Amazon, and at Christmas time it'll hide it from you, but then you can actually hit a button and it'll tell you what you got before you got it. So. I'm going to get a Blanster's handheld game console
You're getting one, or you're giving one?
I'm getting one. No, no, that's the gift. I haven't actually bought mine yet. I'm probably gonna buy it here in the next day or two for the
which
the
one?
Person I'm exchanging. Blansters, Blandstrs handheld game console. It's got 520 classic.
How much are you paying for that?
Games. That was 30. I'm not paying nothing because it's a gift, but that's $33. And it looks a little bit like a Game Boy.
512
games. 20. Mine says 520.
520 games.
And it has like Super Mario 1 and 2, Excitebike.
I have, don't get me wrong, those look cool.
Yep.
And I wouldn't mind having one.
It's cheap. And it comes, actually, what's kind of cool.
No, I'm still picking up PSPs at either $10 or $20 each and putting like 5,000 games on them after they're
nice.
Rooted.
See, I don't know if this one, if I can hack it at all, like to put more games on it. I really don't care.
I'm sure somebody cool. has.
Yeah.
You might have to do some hardware hacking at first just to get into it.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me none because I wanted it to play the games. And the kind of neat thing about this one is it also comes with a looks like a knockoff of the Famicom gamepad, but with four buttons on it.
Oh yeah,
and you can plug it into it.
The one I'm seeing, I guess that came up first on my list, is actually a Jawsall handheld.
Nice.
And it has 400, but it has that same controller with it.
Yep. Yeah, and the neat thing is you can plug that into the handheld part, and then you can plug an HDMI cable into the handheld, and then plug that into the TV, and then play both two players on your TV. So, which is kind of neat. But and a Pac-Man lamp. So I got a Pac-Man lamp that'll go in my new office. I may open it up here and put it up in the apartment, but
in 3 or 4 years when your house is built.
I actually just sent her the. When was that email we got from November 18th? I got an email from our salesperson telling us the superintendent will be contacting you directly to schedule your pre-construction orientation. This meeting will take place Monday through Friday between.
So they haven't even started construction yet?
Well, that I don't know. They have actually been down there over a week. Right before Thanksgiving, we found out the worship leader at church. He had a meeting with somebody else that doesn't go to our church. At our church, and then we come to find out that guy was COVID-19 positive. So we canceled service last week. So I haven't been down the south side. Well, take that back. I was down there this past weekend, and they pretty much haven't done anything as far as I know. But right now,
that's going to be done next month for sure.
Yeah. Right now, February 19th. Not January 19th, but so that's the tentative close date. To be honest, though, I don't care if it happens then or in March, because our lease here is until March. So we can go month to month after that. So although we have to have like 60 days notice or something like that. So before we officially move out. But long story short, we're basically just waiting on permits still. So, it doesn't surprise me none. It wouldn't surprise me if it even stretches into April. And actually, I kind of almost would rather have it close in April because it might end up being when we move in, we might actually have grass. So,
April of 2030.
In February, we would not. Yeah. I'm kind of anxious about it, but because I actually had to.
You all right?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. But what I was saying is, I don't know about you, but when you rent a place, do you sometimes just fix stuff that the landlord should fix just because you don't want to wait for them to come fix it.
Yeah.
That kind of happened this week. Like, there was a screw that fell out of one of the cabinet doors in the kitchen. So, and that happened yesterday. So I just got out my drill and fixed it. I'm like,
yeah, because it probably would have been 6 months before the landlord showed up to fix it.
Oh, yeah. I know. I mean, yeah. Same thing happened. Like, now, what's worse is, one thing we did call in on when we got the first real cold blast, a couple weeks before this now, my son felt like air literally blowing through his window in his room. So we called them about that. And I was home. I was in my office working. All right. And I apparently they just tried to come in the house. And of course, my dog's sitting right by the front door. And so they just put a little card on the door and says, "Oh, we were scared of your dog." And I'm like, yeah, she laid there like a lump, right? All right. And you never even bothered to just, like, I don't know, knock? Because I heard no knocks, you know, because I'm in my office behind a closed door and I was probably on a freaking phone call or something, you know. That's like, I get to – now, and this is the other screwy thing that happened in the last couple weeks where apparently I had it's actually tomorrow now, but that I had a doctor's appointment scheduled at the doctor's office, and I got a text message from them, and on the text message service it says let's see, please text 1 to confirm, 3 to reschedule, 9 to opt out, or call, you know, them, and they have the number. So I said 3 to reschedule. All right. So they call me today, and I'm in a call, so I declined the call. Then they call me again, and I finally answered the call, and he said, "Well, you have an appointment tomorrow." I'm like, "Is there any way I can do that via phone? Because I really don't have the time to go to a fucking doctor's appointment right now." And they said, "Sure, we'll call you tomorrow at 9:15. I'm like, "Okay." I'm like, "So that service you paid that sends out the text alerts, when somebody says reschedule, you guys don't fucking do anything with it, do you?" I'm like, "Oh, well."
Wouldn't surprise me.
And all it is probably right around the time, like a month or so before our close. I also had a tele-one because at that time that's all they were doing. And I told them I was having issues where I had lost some weight, still kind of maintaining it mostly. Not a lot of weight, you know, but enough that I'd wake up in the morning, take my mask off, and let out a horrendous burp every morning. So basically,
that's not a matter of gaining or losing weight.
No, in this case, it kind of is. That means the pressure is too high and it's pumping air into my stomach instead of, instead of where it needs to go. Basically, the pressure is too high. So they lower the pressure.
Doesn't necessarily mean that.
Well, that's what the doctor told me. So.
Yeah, and besides that, you can lower your own pressure.
If you know what to do, and I don't, and I don't really want to, because it's kind of like, you know, the doctor's job to do it, but they can actually change them remotely now, because most of them, if you have one that's been out in the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, most of those have a 4G connection on them already.
Yeah, mine has a 4G connection on it.
Yep.
But I can program it my damn self.
I know. Yeah, I have a friend that does that. I quite frankly, that's not something I'm going to take into my own hands.
Some days, if the allergies are really bad, I need to bump up the pressure. It's that simple. Otherwise, I'm not going to sleep.
Okay,
or if
I'm
switching the different types of masks that I'm using, which happens because the current mask at the VA sends me sucks.
So you buy one off Wish?
No, I buy the Quattro off of eBay. Because the Quattro works good for me. But the difference is the mask they send me, which might last 2 months, which they send me a new one every 6 months, I need to be at about a 13 pressure. And if I switch back to the Quattro, I need to be at about a 10.
Quattro full face, right?
Yeah, full face on both of them.
Right, I used to use that one.
Yeah.
I'm on a Fisher Paykhouse Sim Plus right now, so...
I don't even know what the model is of the new piece of crap they sent me, but it's bad because, you know, at first I didn't know I needed to bump up the pressure, but I did notice that I was starting to get the side effects of not sleeping and the sore throats from snoring and all of that, and waking up at 2 a.m. and not being able to go back to sleep, so
yep.
Bumped up the pressure to about a 13, and that was okay.
It took me a while to figure out, because I had the Quattro for a long time, but it was recent where I was, the Quattro was giving me more leaks than I needed, yeah. So I switched out.
That's the other thing about the new one they're giving me, right around where the seal fits together, after about 2 months, it just starts shooting out so much air that it becomes completely useless.
True.
So, also switch back to the Quattro, and I'll just get a new seal, and that costs about $30 for the rubbers on that, and that'll last me the other 4 months until they send me a new one.
There you go. My insurance is pretty good. They will send us out. Actually, now this is the thing that doesn't make sense. They only send me like a full face mask like once a year, like everything in the mask. Okay, so yeah, the frame and all that.
Well, they'll send me the filters and
including the
whole mask and everything.
That's including headgear though. Yeah, once a year I get headgear. That's it.
You know, if they'd switch back to the Quattro and just send me new cushions every 6 months, I'd be fine with that. Till the thing falls apart.
Well, the thing with me is the headgear is always what stretches out first on me.
those can get for like $10-$12, especially
right, they're
the
not expensive, right?
Generic ones, yeah.
But yeah, it's... And I tell you what, that the full faces style, both the Quattro and the one I have now, which is the Sim Plus, those are the ones I prefer. I tried some of the other, like I tried a hybrid one, which has nose cushions and a thing over your mouth, and the one was the Resmed Liberty. And I'd get a new mask and I'd roll over on top of it, you know, just because I kind of roll over every once in a while when I sleep, and I'd bust the fucking mask.
Yeah, well, and don't get me wrong, the ones that are just the nose ones, they're comfortable if you can figure out how to use them and just maintain that whole breathing through the nose bit. But the problem gets to be if you do have like allergies or something, or something that's going on that's preventing you from breathing through your nose properly, and suddenly you're breathing through your mouth, then your mask isn't doing you any damn good.
Truth. Yeah. They tried. I started with the nose only interface. And then they gave me a chin strap, and then I'd wake up and I'd have like marks for like 3 hours around my face from a freaking chin strap, and I'd still open my mouth. And
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I went full face, and I haven't looked back since. But
yeah, I do prefer the full face.
Yep. And no, we don't really like sleeping with that shit on our face, but it's better than the alternative.
Not sleeping, yeah, that's right. And dying of a heart attack.
Indeed. The tech on these machines is amazing, though, I think.
Yeah, well, I remember the old style that was basically a BiPAP, but it was still called, you know, a CPAP. It just didn't have as much variability as some of the newer ones. And I remember how difficult it was to talk while I was wearing it and it was turned on. And then the newer style came out and the pressure stayed the same. But when I talked, it figured out that, you know, I was still exhaling. So it wasn't trying to force air back in while I'm trying to speak outwards. Granted, I've had a CPAP machine now for 9 years?
Yep. And be glad if you don't need, be glad you don't need one, Dan and Pat, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm thankful every day.
Well, I know a lot of people that I talk to that really, really need to get tested, because...
Oh, me too, yes.
It's one of those issues that probably isn't diagnosed as often as it should be, because people are thick-headed and stubborn.
Totally agree. I tell people, if you even suspect it, go get tested, and then what's the worst that can happen? Oh, they tell you you have it, and now you're going to get a machine, and you're going to get treated, and you're going to feel better.
Oh, and you randomly put on 30 pounds and you wake up with migraines every morning? Guess what? That means you probably got apnea and started putting on weight because you weren't freaking sleeping right.
Yep. And they say, well, I don't know if I can sleep with that. Like I said, better than the alternative.
Hey, the very first time I put one of those on for the test, I woke myself up yanking it off.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It just takes some practice, people.
I know. I know. And I'll say some of my insomnia that I currently deal with now is because of that. Is because even though I do wear it every night, I don't want to.
And honestly, you know, looking back at a lot of the issues that I had sleeping the 5 to 8 years prior to me getting a mask, I should have gotten one a lot sooner.
Oh, yeah. I'd agree. Same thing here, you know. But, you know, it's just...
And that was before I started getting fat.
Food tastes good, though. So, how was your Thanksgiving, y'all?
Delicious. I think I'll be finishing off the last of the turkey tomorrow.
Ours is already gone.
Well, everybody else quit eating the turkey, which left it to me to finish the leftovers. Yeah. My wife did an incredible job cooking, so I did an incredible job of staying the hell out the way.
There you go. That's what I kept telling people all day on Thanksgiving day. I'm like, stay the fuck out of the kitchen. I'm like, leave me alone so I can get you guys your dinner cooked.
And we did have company.
Well, that's nice. We didn't. It was just us three.
Well, it was just us five and then three other people. So eight total.
That's not too bad.
And they'd all been social distancing and they'd all just been tested for COVID. So we were good.
Right.
None of us leave the house, so...
And Pat, you smoked your turkey, right?
Smoked his turkey?
No, I did not. I baked it.
Oh.
Roasted.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And smoked.
Yeah, oh, I smoked funny. My turkey.
Ooh, I bet you it was delicious.
It was. It was really good. You know, I ate the heart and the liver. That was good.
We had a 19-pound turkey.
20-pound.
And you had a 20 pound?
Yeah.
And we had 15. For some reason, I think that was like the largest, one of the larger turkeys that we've had at Thanksgiving. And it just seemed like all the leftovers were like gone really fast. Usually you have like, we have like tons of leftovers.
I don't think we've ever done a 9-pound turkey.
9 pounds?
Yeah, that's what you said, a 9-pound turkey.
No, 19.
No,
19, okay.
19-pound turkey.
19. I heard 9-pound. It's like that had to have been tiny.
No, yeah, all I got out of it was lunch the next day, And this is with everything. Lunch the next day, like a sandwich, a little bit. We had just leftovers for dinner the next night. And then two turkey pot pies. And I'm where did it all go?
I've been eating it once or twice a day since Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're a lucky man. All my stuff was gone by Saturday morning. It was gone.
Well, mine was too, but see, the one thing that I usually do, like when I have a bigger refrigerator, is I'll usually make some turkey corn soup because I like turkey corn soup, you know? And, but I just looked at my freezer and I said, I don't have room for it because I can have a month's worth of like lunches out of the turkey corn soup that I would make, you know, but there's just not enough room for that much soup in the freezer. So I'm like, so what did I do? I pitched the carcass. I picked all the meat off of it I could, and I just threw the carcass into the trash can. And I'm like, there was still meat on it, not a lot of meat, you know, because it's just like, you know, I could spend hours picking turkey off that thing and still be picking turkey off it. But you know, it's, I also think too, with turkeys, you get to a certain point where the bones start adding to the weight. So you might have a 20-pound turkey, but then there's like another pound or two of carcass, of bone and stuff in there, you know? So it just depends on various things in the turkey, of course, but you know, it's still like, I love turkey.
I love turkey too, man.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I might grab, actually, because I was afraid I wouldn't have enough turkey for one of the meals that we use leftover turkey with, I actually bought one of those turkeys that's already not it's not lunch meat, but it's like a ham chub, but it's like turkey, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's sliced turkey, you know. So I bought some of that, so I still have that in my fridge.
Well, when we have this freezer space, we will usually buy a couple of the 20-pound turkeys simply because the price is so good at this time of year.
Yep. And my favorite thing that I made on Thanksgiving Day was my stuffing, as it always is. So I had fresh homemade bread that I used to make it, and I spiced the heck out of it, so there's tons of sage flavor. This just adds so much flavor. Oh no, it's good. At least I don't do something weird like put oysters in the stuffing. Ugh.
No. We just use frozen peas. We'll fill that cavity up full of frozen peas, and it's just freaking delicious.
I prefer the bread stuffing.
And that's because you're disgusting.
That's because I live, because I'm a damn Yankee. That's what it is.
Really? You want to see who's from farther north?
Oh, I'm sure it might be you, but...
Yeah, I was born in Alaska, so I win.
Yeah, but that's in another country, man.
Alaska? Almost, right?
Yeah, that's another
practically
country.
In another country.
It might as well be, right?
You got to cross another country to get there.
Yeah. Well, you don't do cornbread stuffing, do you?
What
I
did, you know, graduate from high school in Iowa.
I'm not a big fan of cornbread stuffing.
It's one of those cornbread stuffing can be really good, usually dry as fuck.
Yeah, but the few times I've had it, I think it's been dry as fuck.
I mean, good flavor. But, like, desert in your mouth.
What's in your mouth?
A desert.
My kitty wants to help me podcast.
That's cool.
My kitty's, ever since we moved, now he's the only cat, and he's digging it. He loves it. Like, in the middle of the night, he will...
My wife decided we needed a new cat, so we got a new cat.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The other two cats hated it at first, but now they're getting along better. And this little tiny kitten scares the crap out of my dogs.
As usual. I think the dog gets afraid that he's going to kill it.
Yeah, well, my dogs try to be polite with it, but then, you know, it jumps on their bed and starts messing with them until they get up and walk away. Oh, and, well, I've been making back my money on the PSPs that I bought.
There
so,
you go.
Well, selling them. But I bought another set of 5 PSPs for about $100, which is actually a decent price, especially since one of them is a PSP Go, which even with 4 parts only sells on eBay for about $100 all on its own.
Yeah, but that's a nice one, and hopefully you keep one of those for yourself.
Well, it's only one PSP Go. My guess is it was being sold as parts. My guess is that it's either the screen or one of the fuses for the backlight of the screen. And you can get a new screen for about $16, and fuses either bypass them or you can get them cheap. Rip them off of other electronics.
Now, one thing I bid on it, didn't win it, because I wasn't going to spend that much. But one of the things I kind of was interested in playing around with, you'll laugh when I say it, was a Microsoft Zune MP3 player.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to have one of those back in the day. No,
I never did. Things, I wanted to check it out.
The next big things on my list that I want to work with are the Sega Game Gear and the Sega Nomad.
There you go.
I'd love to work on those.
The Nomad's cool because it just plays straight up Genesis games right out of the box.
Absolutely.
Yep. Or Sega Master. Or wait, I'm sorry. What did they call it? Mega Drive.
Yeah, Mega Drive.
So, actually, I saw Ashens did a video on. They made mini versions of the Game Gear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that. But yeah, super tiny, though. Like, annoyingly tiny.
I know. It's one of those things you're just going to stick on your shelf and you say, here, this was what the Game Gear kind of looked like, and it works. You can actually play a game. Scale. Right. And it's like, and one thumb press presses both buttons.
Yeah. Well, the Game Gear was way ahead of its time.
It was one of the first color handhelds, I think, that had a backlight on it.
Yeah, and, you know, good games, but it's just, it was too expensive.
I kind of wouldn't
mind. The batteries didn't last long enough.
I kind of wouldn't mind collecting, and actually, it would be a pretty easy to complete collection of the Atari Lynx.
Exactly. Yeah, I would love to do the Atari Lynx too. I don't care about the. I'd like at least one game for it so that I could test. Right. But I'd I'd love to do a recap just on the Atari Lynx system and maybe a monitor replacement and just get it running great and then leave it on a shelf to never touch it again.
And that's one of those ones. I think they actually have replacement screens that are not only. Directly better. Replace it, but they're better. Yeah, that they're better. Well, same thing with the Game Gear. Yeah.
Same thing with the Game Gear. Same thing with the Sega Nomad. Actually, there's also one for the PSP 1000, and I don't
really.
Know if there's
I don't
one
really
for the
think
PSP
that one
3000. It didn't, but it really doesn't. But you, the updated screen, an IPS screen for less ghosting, and it uses less power.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, I mean, it's still a really good looking screen, and PSP is a good system. It just, you know, only uses WPA or WEP.
Right. The Lynx is the only one. It's one of those ones I've always wanted to have. And another one is the Jaguar. I always wanted to have that system too.
Yeah.
Never got one of those. And about there's only one game system came out in the 80s/90s that I really don't even want to mess with, and that's the Virtual Boy, because that was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I wouldn't mind having it on the shelf, but I'm never going to put it on my head.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, you'd have a headache. Oh.
Yeah. Now, well, I'd love to work on the Game Gear. I'd love to work on the Lynx. I'd love to work on the Nomad. And basically, what, those, but I'm getting the PSPs because they're the right price right now. And when I right. originally wanted a PSP, there was no way I could afford it.
Yep. Yeah, so, but the...
I'm making up for it now.
But yeah, the Zoom, it's like I watch a... You ever watch a, or heard a, of Dank Pods? YouTube channel?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's basically a guy who... his channel is all it's not just iPods, but it is of course iPod heavy, because let's face it, the iPod was the leading MP3 player at the time, you know. But he'll take like an old iPad, the fifth generation iPad, yank the hard drive out, put a new battery in it, and then flash mod it, so he has a terabyte okay, of yeah. storage.
I have yeah. seen some of his stuff, not very much, yep. but a little bit.
Yeah, he did a video, and that's kind of what even got me looking at, maybe I should try finding a Zune and play around with it, see if I liked it or anything like that. So I bid on one on eBay, but guy sniped me at the end of the auction. So.
Yeah, even with the PSPs, you have to wait until the last minute to throw right. in your bid. Otherwise, someone will push up around your bid.
Yep. It ended up going for about $48, $49. And it was the original brown and pea green Zune. Which
one of the bricks?
Well, wait a minute. I don't think
one of the 40-gig bricks?
No, it was 30, I think. But I don't think it was. Actually, no, take it back. I think it was the black one. I'd either want the brown one or the white one, if I can find one.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I bet you Linux is probably the only operating system it would work with anymore.
Nah. I'm sure it's plug and play.
Yeah. He tried the Dankpods. He tried to get it working with his EPC. That's he'll call. He's from Australia, so he's hilarious when you watch him. Like it's like it's not an HP, it's a HP. So, but I like watching his, especially every once in a while he'll do an episode of Nuggets which he'll pull out MP3 players like the Rio 600 or like some of the really awful MP3 players that were around there, like Intel made an MP3 player.
Really crappy MP3 players. Heck, there still yep. are. Ask Dan.
They are, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's your latest one do you have there?
I'm still rocking the Sulker.
I'm serious. Okay. Get yourself an S3 Mini.
Yeah. Actually, he needs to find some of the older SanDisk ones, like the SanDisk.
Yeah, the SanDisk were pretty good. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the ones where you could put in the micro SD card. Now, the screens yep. got scratched up really easy, and the newer ones suck, but the old ones were good.
My favorite of the weird MP3 players that I had before I went iPod back in the day was I bought a Best Buy and their Insignia brand had one called the Pilot. I talked about it on the show a long time ago now. But that was a MP3 player. It had a you can pop it, upgrade to it had 8 gig on board, but you can upgrade to storage with the micro SD card. But the cool thing about it was it actually had Bluetooth built into it.
Yeah, well, you know, the S3 Mini, it's not going to work as a phone come this time next True. Year. Because it's limited to the, I think, 4G, but not LTE.
Right.
But it's still going to have Wi-Fi, and it'll work just fine. It takes a micro SD card, user-replaceable battery. You can put what whatever music playing application on it that you want to.
Yep.
And your security is turning off everything except for Bluetooth.
Yep. The only thing is, though, an S3 is kind of heavy when you're out for a run, isn't it, Dan?
S3 Mini.
Ah. It's still, I think anything with a phone is too heavy when you're out. I don't know.
maybe.
Dan, like he always, the one you always kill, what was it, Santa Clips, I think, is the ones you check in the car door.
Going through the washer, yeah.
The Sans Eclipse were good too, and also took, well, some of the early ones took micro SD, and they were pretty nice. I had a couple of them.
Yep. I think I still have one. I had that, and I had my wife.
But most of mine I destroyed.
Before my wife switched to her iPhone, I had bought her the Fuse, the one that actually kind of looked like a mini iPod, and it actually had the spinning click wheel. That was my favorite.
That was when they started sucking, though, wasn't it?
No, that one was when they were good. the one, I think the Fuses that sucked was, I actually had one that they sent me for a review, was where they replaced the wheel with a touch-sensitive control system. That was awful. I didn't like it.
But didn't put the scratch-resistant glass on it, just that cheap plastic still, went to garbage in like a week?
Yep. It didn't take long at all for that thing it was real, to me, the plastic felt flimsy. I know. I forget what the name of that one was. I think it was in the Fuse line, but it was not very good. I mean, it played things fine and all that, but the controls were awful. I didn't like it.
Yeah, but you can pick up, it's usually Verizon, but you can pick up the S3 Mini for like $25 in good working condition. And that's the big thing with them right now, because you can't get an MP3 player that doesn't suck for anywhere near that price.
Yep. Now, if you look at I'm trying to remember the other one. One of my favorite ones that was on the chunky side, one of the first ones, was from our friend Joe Bourne's Neuros, the Neuros digital audio computer. I had one, but not until kind of after they were a thing. And they were good. The kind of neat thing with that was it had like a swappable module. So it had like the main control board and main controls were on one little unit that you can slide in and slide out of these different sleds. Like, we can have one sled that had a compact flash built into it, another one that had a 20 gig hard drive in it. And I was trying to look on eBay to see if I could find one. Nope, they're gone. They were rare at the time when they were out. I mean, there wasn't that many of them. Neuros kind of started off doing the Kickstarter kind of thing before Kickstarter existed, you know, where you basically would buy an almost unfinished product. The Neuros OSD was like that. That was the video recorder back when the SD was the format that you would record into. They were so standard definition. So you're talking about, I think, 640 by 480 on the video. So those worked good. And then before that, they had the MP4 recorder that Link had years ago. And then after that, after all that, was the Neuros Link, which was essentially an XBMC desktop that attached to your TV. And really no point in that now, because you got Roku under your TV, or you have a Chromecast Ultra or something like that. So it's no point in that. But the only thing that I would buy set-top box-wise might be a Fire Stick or the Google TV stuff nowadays. But yeah, there's no sense in doing recordings like with the Myth TV, at least in my opinion anyway.
Yeah, maybe not.
Pat might have a different idea, but... Thank you. still kind of like to get a QNAP NAS device for my network.
Who wouldn't?
With tons of storage. I didn't even go get the Black Friday. They had some Black Friday deals on like 14 gig hard drives, like for around $200.
14T hard drives?
Or T, I'm sorry. Yeah, correct. Terabyte, yeah.
For $200? That's gig. Not bad. That's not bad at all.
No, they were Western. Mostly Western Digital, I think is what I was seeing. Maybe a Seagate.
But they wanted me to leave the house, and I don't do that on Black Friday.
Yeah, no. We have we're supposed to stay. We have a stay-at-home advisory, not an order, an advisory. And I went out. I had to go out on Black Friday. We need to hit the grocery store. And, yeah, it was every bit as busy as Black Friday usually is. Because I didn't go like at the openings of any of these places. I went, like, well into the day. And then I tried to stop and get some, Luke was like, Dad, I'd really like to go eat at a restaurant, all right? So we went over to, Skyline Chili, and it was closed. It wasn't even open.
Yeah, well, so. I know that there were also a lot of really good deals on, like, 4K TVs.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
And I wouldn't mind picking one up, but I'm not going to fight anybody for a TV.
Yeah, I'm trying, if I buy anything, I'm not going to buy stuff that's going to add to large things that I want to move. Or have to move. I did buy a Christmas Vacation on Blu-ray.
Why? Why didn't you just get it on digital?
I don't know. Because I can rip the Blu-ray.
Did you? Okay. I don't even have a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, I actually have a USB Blu-ray drive. But yeah.
It sounds like a lot of work to rip it when you could have just, you know, bought a digital copy and.
Some of them, well, when I buy the Blu-rays, a lot of times I try to find the ones that have the digital download with it.
Yeah.
So basically, I get the best of all of it. You know, I can rip it. I can
download the digital copy.
Yep. The Charlie Brown ones are on the Vudu service, so I have all three of the movies, the holiday movies.
Oh, didn't somebody say that they are going to be broadcast on?
They were on PBS. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving was. I think Christmas is in a week or two. So.
But you got to have all the stop motion Christmas.
I'm actually looking for those.
Animations.
Yeah, I'm looking for those.
Frosty, yeah. Rudolph. Yeah.
The Rankin Bass stuff. Yeah, which are classics. You know. It's funny. I saw somebody posted on Facebook, like their list, their family list of holiday movies, and they instead of saying Rudolph, they said the one with Yukon Cornelius. I'm like, no, it's Rudolph that has Yukon Cornelius.
Rudolph and the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yes. Well, that was in Rudolph, but then there's a Rudolph Shiny New Year. Which is like the only New Year cartoon that I know, or cartoon or animation thing that I know of.
Get the Year Without Santa.
That's a classic.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The Burger Mice, the Mice of Burger.
That's right. That's classic too.
Frosty the Snowman, Frosty Returns.
Frosty Returns sucks. Just Frosty. You don't need the Returns is awful. Ugh.
Frosty Returns again.
What was funny, though, is Thanksgiving Day. We just ate our dinner, and I threw in, I went on the Vudu service, and I loaded the Thanksgiving one, and me and my wife sat there and watched it. My son didn't give a crap. me and my wife, we were both sitting there eating our pumpkin pie, grinning from ear to ear, watching this. Well, gosh, how that was 1964, I think, on that one. It's older than us.
And then you still got to watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas, The although cartoon. There's
the Jim Carrey
more than
abomination.
One now.
Yes.
No, the Jim Carrey one wasn't too bad, but the new Grinch cartoon just isn't my jam.
I will agree with that.
Don't forget Die Hard.
Die Hard is definitely a Christmas movie. Scrooged, you have to watch Scrooged.
The Santa Claus. Yeah. That was a good movie.
I'm not a big fan of Santa Claus.
Oh, you don't like Tim Allen? That's a good movie. And then
Kurt Russell's funny too, the Santa Chronicles.
Oh yeah, Chronicles 1 and 2 are both awesome.
I'll have to watch that.
I haven't seen the second one yet.
Yeah, it's just out on Netflix now.
And don't forget the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh yeah, because you absolutely have to watch, you know, all those actors all coked up trying to act.
And the first I don't know if it's even canon anymore, but the first appearance of Boba Fett. And then you find out the
Chewie's,
weapon.
Chewie's family.
Yep. Itchy. Yes. But then another Santa Claus movie I liked real well was the one with Dudley Moore in it, who played the elf. And I don't remember who Santa was in that one, but I remember John Lithgow was like the evil corporate toy company owner. They made the Puce candies.
Who was in it?
Dudley Moore and John Lithgow. It was called Santa Claus, the movie.
Oh.
But it wasn't the Santa Claus. It's Santa Claus, the movie. So Dudley Moore was an elf, and he had all these ideas.
All 73 remakes of Miracle on 34th Street. That's only a mild exaggeration.
Yeah. Then trying to remember.
White Christmas. Have to watch White Christmas.
No.
Yes.
Christmas Vacation, yes.
Have to watch White Christmas.
Wait, what's White Christmas?
You don't know White Christmas?
Bing Crosby, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd start singing, but, you know, everybody would stop listening.
I'm trying to remember. No. See, part of getting close to 50 is you start to have CRS a lot. Can't remember shit. But see, and that's something too that I don't think we'll ever have in our life again, was how when we were kids, especially probably Dan and Pat and myself, where...
But not Joe.
But Joe's a little bit younger than we are. But like, When Rudolph came on, you had to watch it, because that was it, man. It was on once, right? So that was a family night, man. It's like, you know, your mom would pop some popcorn, maybe make some cocoa or something. You'd turn the lights on the tree, and you'd sit and watch Rudolph. That was the night. Or you'd sit and watch the Peanuts Christmas special, or you'd sit and watch The Year Without a Santa Claus, and there was no VHS, there was no Blu-ray, no DVD. That's the only time you had to watch it. And it's not that like that anymore. Now you can literally binge watch Christmas movies every weekend if you wanted to, and still not see them all. There's a ton of them. Yep. And they're not going to make movies like the Rankin Bass ones anymore. The stop animation is probably not ever going to be done again, because it'll all be CGI and look awful.
Just got an email from Rich.
Oh, God. What did he email about?
Oh, he started using one of those LiPo chargers from eBay to charge a dead battery from a Bluetooth headset to resurrect it. So, yeah, he was asking about some of the procedure on that, and should he let it... He was asking how to tell when it's charged all the way, and with those, it does turn blue if it charges the battery all the way, but really, you shouldn't attempt to use those to charge it all the way. You should use it for 10 or 15 minutes, monitor the temperature closely, let it get above a zero charge, so that way the normal charger from your headset registers it again. Hook it up normally and let it charge the way it should.
That sounds like a lot of work to me.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have to look. I did not go through that aisle when I was at Sam's Club, but they had the LG SL5s for $50.
Just desoldering from 2 points and resoldering 2 points, desoldering and resoldering again. Good 25 minutes worth of work.
I'm trying to talk to Luke and find out what he wants for Christmas, and he's one of those kids / adult kids that never will really tell you what he wants. And I hate that. Kind of want to get him a Switch, but I don't know.
Eh.
I love my Switch.
I'm waiting for the prices on broken Switches to come down.
Right. But now a lot of people will say, like, I know my nephew will say, get the regular Switch. But I'm thinking, for me, I'd be happy with the Mini.
The Switch Lite?
The Switch Lite, yeah.
You don't need it to dock. You don't need it to hook up to a TV or anything like that.
Yep. Yep.
You just need to be able to take it to the gym with you.
Well, yeah. You can play a game when you're walking on a treadmill or sitting on a bike. Yeah.
Whatever gets you to the gym and whatever gets you moving.
Mm-hmm. Although my apartment complex has their gym shut down because of the COVID right now.
But well, I hear the sidewalk is still open.
And covered in snow.
I've actually been out bike riding with my son. He's been kicking my ass.
Well, that's normal because he's a lot younger than
Yeah, he's
10 are.
And I'm like 40, and yeah, the arthritis.
40.
Yeah.
That's like my retirement plan. Which ironically, our retirement 401k is done with Vanguard, who our good friend Russ Wenner works for. And he didn't send me an email, but they did. They said, next year you're turning 50. I'm like, don't fucking remind me.
Has anybody been keeping an eye on the price of cryptocurrency?
I heard it's going back up, isn't it?
Dude, it's skyrocketing right now. I mean, what, Bitcoin is at around 18.5 again?
So is ammo. Lead.
Right.
Lead is going through the roof.
Oh, no.
But as usual.
Bitcoin's at 19.5 right now. It's about to break its record.
See, a Switch Lite is only 200, I think, right?
5.56 ammo is quadruple the price since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Got an ammo factory, it's nice.
Yep.
And then Cryptopia, sometime early this month, is supposed to have a registration program to get all their cryptocurrency set back out after their liquidation. They're not going to reopen, but you have to register with them and verify who you are so that they can send you the coins that you do have, but they're probably going to have to convert it to something that you can accept.
Right.
So I'll have to register and get them to convert everything to Litecoin and send it all to me. But I didn't have a whole lot there anyway.
Wait, how much Litecoin do you have?
Right now, well, okay, on my other account, I have like 2 Litecoin, so not much there. But I think in my Cryptopia account, I had like the equivalent of 3 or 4 Litecoin. But with the way prices have fluctuated, there's no way what they're calling it now. Because I had purchased other coins, so there was some, I don't even know what the price of Electronium is anymore, and I don't know what it was when I initially bought it, so I have no idea how much I have there. And then I did have, like, a partial Bitcoin that I picked up when prices were relatively low on Bitcoin. So it was in the... Bitcoin itself, like one Bitcoin at the time, was $3,000 or something. And now it's, you know, almost $20,000. So the $100 that I probably had on Bitcoin is going to be worth a little bit more.
Have you guys seen these stories about the mysterious metal monolith?
Yes. Yep.
I'm trying to figure that one out myself. But every time it I see it, I just... Every time I see it, I put the gif in there. You know, I don't know. I think it's the aliens dude, you know. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Oh, do you think it's aliens, Joel?
No, I think it's somebody having a good time with the whole world.
Yeah, it probably is. But you don't believe in aliens, Joel?
Of course I do. I think they're not there. Smart enough to stay away from this shit show of a planet right now.
Makes sense to me.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
Oh, this is such a pain in the ass.
What's a pain in the ass?
It seems like me of 3 years ago decided to put all the episodes up there. Except instead of putting like all the AUG files I had, I just started with the MP3s, and where I had a gap of missing MP3s, I just filled it in with the AUG files up until I had the next MP3. And I didn't just fill in like do all the AUG files.
So you're saying you need to rewrite your fucking script.
No, the script that I use is fine. It's just the files I selected. I manually selected. Instead of doing all of them, I just did like a run starting with the MP3s, and where I didn't have MP3s, I threw in the AUG files to fill in the gaps of the MP3s. So instead of putting all the AUG files that I have up there, I just put the missing the episodes that I didn't have MP3 for at the time up there. So now I gotta fix this.
And now you're making my head hurt.
Yeah, I'm making my head hurt too.
That's like, now I'm hoping, like we've had this one issue when we have one of our clients where there's a garbage collection process that's been dying, and it'll page us every time that happens, because it's not like the system will die right away when it goes down, but over time it will start to have issues, right, if that process isn't running. So it clears out these temporary files. Well, I had a revelation today where they had a kind of a similar issue. But with there's a process that can download, like when you run a process, like a report in our UI, you can download a PDF of the file, and that functionality stopped working, and it had a very similar error to when the garbage collection would die. And then I just had a revelation because one of our other one of the tech leads shared that she said she remember when something with one of our other clients, and they had to write a script to keep touching, basically keep activity happening on this listener. But then I thought, I looked at the listener layout for this particular client system, and normally we have the main default app listener, application listener, and then we have the database one. All right, and then we might have one for Web Advisor, which is the student self-service function that's being deprecated next year, being replaced by another similar function. All right. And so I realized that the default app listener, they weren't even using, because they created another one for just for UI when they did this before it came to us. So I thought, well, this listener is sitting here doing nothing. What happens if this thing sits idle? Does it die? Is there a possibility there's a bug? And could it be that that's why the process is crashing? So I put a ticket into our support and see if I can figure out why that might be happening. Because I just kind of had a revelation about that. I thought, because when the other teammate shared that, I thought, wait a minute, maybe that's what we're having here. And it's like, we've been battling this for a month. Actually, probably longer than that. And I hate when you run into stuff like that. It's happened to every single one of us on this show tonight. You've all had something like that.
I'm sorry, were you still talking?
I was.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
But so hopefully that
I was being harassed by a gaggle of midgets.
Of mints or kim?
I was being harassed by a gaggle of midgets.
Midgets, okay.
Midget pygmies.
Jojo,
Kai, Tala.
Wow, remember these shows? Linux World Expo.
Uh-huh.
Oh, back never when we talked about one. Linux?
From 2006.
Never went to one.
Way before my time.
Let's see, Linux World Expo 2006. April 4th, April 3rd, 4th.
It's back. Things to normal, and we have Linux Fest again. I don't know about you, but I miss you guys. Never met you, Joe, but I would love to.
I would go to a Linux Fest.
Absolutely.
I'd work a booth again if Texas Linux Fest was close by. I mean, as long as you wear a mask and you sanitize and you got the table between you and everybody else, then I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm mixed on where I've done booths, and you don't get to see the show when you're in a booth, but...
Well, as long as you and several other people are switching out working, then it is quite possible to go and see the stuff that you want to.
Yep. Oh, and that's right. I have to see... I'm assuming their website's still up. Well, I found out that that I'm now becoming like almost every other ham in this country, where I don't live in a town with the ham radio store anymore.
Because there are like 3 ham radio stores left in America.
In the world,
no,
right?
No, there's more than that. There's more than that. They're just in like a Cedars Arnell, that's in Cincinnati. I think AES is still around, and DX Engineering's in Ohio too. But so there's more than that. But our local one,
it's the local ones that
right
are that aren't very common anymore. That's why they have this thing called the internet.
right.
Yeah, and they sell things on there.
Right. So in this case, though, it's not like they're going out of business because they have no business. They're actually going out of business because they want to. The husband and wife that own the store.
Well, why keep renting the store space?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, nobody's coming in, and you're selling more online anyway.
Well, in their case, they're leaving, I don't even think you can go and pick. They used to have that. Now, I will say since March, the showroom's been closed. And they also moved from their old facility out in Reynoldsburg that they were out for years and years and years to some office space up in Worthington, Ohio, which is actually closer to me now than they ever were. So the showroom's been closed. You couldn't go in, but I think you could still put an order in on the phone or via the web and then go and pick it up. But I think that's not an option anymore. The only thing they'll do is they'll ship it to you. And they're basically going to clear out, leave the website up as long as they can.
Well, I wouldn't want you coming in my store either, Joel.
Well, hey, there's a good reason for that. And they're older.
I mean, I'll take your money, but right. I'd much rather just ship things to you.
So, I should probably. I actually have been thinking about ordering a radio from them, probably because I'd rather it go to them than I'd rather it go to.
I mean, R&L, you haven't switched to just SDR.
Well, here's the thing about SDR. A lot of the SDR radios that are any good are they're usually the HF radios, which is okay. You know, it's not a bad thing, but. They're usually quite pricey compared to buying a handheld or actually the one I've been looking at is a mobile radio.
Yeah.
About over $1,000. So
I've always wanted to get into that type of thing, but then never have. So I don't know.
Right.
It's just, it seems like you'd get a whole lot more versatility out of an SDR.
Yep.
And I know that there are SDR Pi projects
right. And
there's your mobility again.
Well, the SDRs that can actually run off of a Pi are usually receivers only. Although there is the HackRF, which is not a receiver only, but it's also I'm trying to remember what the wattage is on that.
I don't know.
I'm looking it up. But the biggest problem with HackRF is power. It's probably less than 5 watts. So you'd have to have an outboard amplifier to actually use it as I would a regular radio. Mm-hmm. So, but with that said, there are companies like the one I'm thinking of that is an SDR product, which is Flex Radio. Flex Radio is probably going to be Windows only, because that's that's the software that runs it. It runs it off of that.
For now.
But a Flex Radio is going to cost me right around $1,500. I don't really have that kind of cash right now for that. Now the one I'm looking at is right around $329. It's a mobile radio that goes all the way up to 50 watts on 2 meters and 70 centimeters, I think, is around 35. And it does D-Star, has onboard memory. The head, I can take the body of the radio and stick it, in the shade somewhere in my car and then mount the display up where I can see it by the dashboard. So... although I would probably, for the moment, I would probably just use it off of power supply in the apartment here. So, but it's the radio like that, not that long ago, would probably cost you about about $500 or $600, depending on what time it was. Now it's $329. So, the only thing is if, For home, I probably have to buy a power supply because the only power supply I have is probably 30 years old, and wasn't in good shape when I got it because he used to belong to my grandfather. Mm-hmm. So, but either that or a new handheld. Right now, most of my radios are handhelds.
Well, I think my next purchase, because it's something that, you know, I want other than the rebuilding PSPs, is probably going to be the TS-100 soldering iron.
Okay.
Are you familiar with it?
No, tell us about it.
Well, it's just a portable soldering iron that can work with a like an RC car battery, a LiPo battery. And
okay.
It is like completely programmable, and there's a lot of custom firmware out there for it, so you can set the ramp up and ramp down temperatures and timings and all that jazz. So, and it uses just a laptop power supply, so I'd have to check the barrel size on it, but I should have something that'll cover it.
Interesting.
And it's got the quick release tips. So easy to change, pop in and out.
And better than the butane powered ones.
Well, yeah. I'm not a fan of the butane ones. I do have a soldering station. It's just the variable temperature doesn't seem to work quite as well as it should, so it ends up staying at 480 all the time. So what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But then again, I like soldering, and you like playing with radios.
I like soldering, too. Unfortunately, my soldering irons are all packed in storage right now.
Yeah. That was one of the nice things about Radio Shack. One of the few places that you could walk into and pick up a decent soldering iron.
Yep. So I just went to their website and says they're... The office per se is closed for several days while they got to move the stuff out of the Worthington facility into wherever they're at in Westerville, which I am assuming could be their house. I don't know. So. But here's the wild thing, though. They existed since 1942.
Look at the time.
Yep.
Oh, it's after 10 o'clock.
Time to go.
Why is this being such a pain in the ass? This is probably the same file I'm dealing with. I don't really need to deal with it. Right?
Probably.
Oh, wait. Is this what it's doing?
It's getting on towards time to take all my pills.
Oh, man.
The ID 4100A.
I managed to delete like 15 files off the archive site.
Whoops.
Oops.
Oh, man. It's just fiddling around with these, trying to make sure I have them backed up before I delete them in multiple locations. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't really need to do that because I have them here.
I hate to misplace one of those early shows with Link's fart noise music in it.
Well, I have them locally, and they're up on the Internet Archive. Before I delete them, I'm just double checking, and then I'm like, "Well, this isn't really right up here, and this isn't," and I'm like, "I should just let's."
I hear you.
Let's just get it done instead of futzing around with trying to fix it. Just get it done, right?
I hear you.
Indeed. 14 to 19. So I need to make sure.
There's right. A link to that TS-100.
Nice.
Okay, so... Oh, you know what I didn't tell you about? Oh, this, let me just throw this in here before we leave, right? So, a couple of weeks ago, we've been having a problem with the downstairs toilet, which is in my, one of my middle daughter's room, the one who was taking classes, the one who had the quarantine over there while she was taking, the in-person classes. And so nobody was allowed. She has like this room off the side of the house, the sunroom, which is her own thing with her own bathroom over there. So she could be isolated from everybody else in case she got sick or something. Well, the toilet was having a problem, wasn't flushing properly for a bit. And then I tried to fix it, but it was just, it was old and it wasn't working, and I bought the new replacement inside for it, and it's still, she was complaining it was leaking, so I had to call them in to come and fix it, because at that point it was the bolts were rusted on the basin, and I had tried just tightening them, and it was just not a good situation. That
sounds like me 6 months ago.
Yeah, so they came in, they did what I did, they replaced the insides of it, like the plunger and all that stuff, and I don't think they've replaced the bolts at all because they were still rusty. I guess they just tightened them again, and it stopped leaking on the one side for a while. Then it started again, and I went in and looked at it, and there was a crack in the basin because it wasn't leaking in the bolt anymore. There's like an actual crack in there that was coming through. So they came in and replaced the toilet, right? And so now this was like about a month and a half ago. And since then, it's been fine. But she's like, "Man, that toilet is like big, right?" And I didn't know what the hell she was talking about. I went in there for the first time because she was done with classes like over a week ago, and so far nobody had been sick. Everything's fine, so she's out of quarantine. I went in there to go to the bathroom, and I sat on the toilet, and I'm like, "Oh my God, this thing's like sitting on a bar stool." Like my feet, I can't put my feet flat on the ground. I'm wow. Like, I've got my toes on there. I'm like, I've never been on a toilet that rides this high before. I'm like, where the hell did they get this thing from?
So this is a good thing, right?
Toilet. I don't know. I mean, you got to hop off it. I've never had to hop off a toilet like that.
So you don't need a, what's the toilet thing? The squatty potty.
I'm just like, I was just surprised at how tall this thing is.
You see, now the kind of toilets I can't stand anymore are the ones that are just the round ones. You know, that they're like really round. I like the oblong ones. So I don't know what we're getting at the house. Right now, I'll be happy with a brand new house with functioning toilets. Functioning HVAC, gigabit Ethernet, and not this 50 megabit bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. The apartment complex. Cabinets that... Now, see, this apartment complex is fun, okay? Because basically, you look at the front of our cabinets in the kitchen, they look great. All right, you open it up, and the insides are just caked with paint, and it's like rough. The, you know, normally, you know, inside of a cabinet's fairly smooth. You can lay down some shelf paper, maybe, if you're that kind of person.
But they're supposed to repaint every time a new person moves in, so.
And there's about, about 15 layers. Right, yeah, I mean, they really, these cabinets should be replaced as far as I'm concerned. But they got all new appliances. Now, the vent fan on the hood never worked. I don't remember if we told them, but, you know, I figure, you know, if they ask us when we move out, say, hey, we never turn it on. So it probably never worked from the beginning. So, but, you know, it's like, you know, so those things, plus then there's the weird ass switches on our walls that we have. They're not a toggle style. They're not a decor style. They're something else that I've never seen anywhere else but this freaking apartment. So, and then and then the other thing I hate about it is we got the door to the apartment has a deadbolt on it, and it has like the kind of like the hotel flippy thing, you know, that replaces like the chain, you know, but the doorknob doesn't lock. There's no key on the doorknob. It's just there. You know, so the only lock you really have in this apartment is the deadbolt. So, but it's okay. I mean, I'm not saying that's any unsecure. It's just I'm not used to that, you know, and other weirdness like that, you know. But it's like one of the things, like, it's like whenever I go to a hotel, I look at how things are in the hotel, anything. These are specifically made for hotels. I'm like, how much did it cost you guys to do that rather than just go to freaking any old place to buy the same kind of thing you build in the house with? You know, specialized products. I dislike that, but whatever. It's temporary.
Yep, whatever.
I don't like
temporary
cabinets either.
For the next 4 or 5 years.
No. That's not going to happen. Nope. It shouldn't take them that long. So.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be having this conversation again in about 4 months, and you'll be saying, nope. Fuck you, Joe.
Nope. I'm confident. I'm optimistic. So, everyone, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
You know what? It's only 80. I brought it down from like 83 gigs to 80 gigs now on the archive site.
Woo.
What's 80 gigs anymore?
I'm going to say, you probably don't have that much hard drive storage in your house, do you?
Hey, you shut your mouth, man.
Oh, you finally went and bought some hard drives?
No. No, you know what? I have something over here where I have them all on here, so I got more than 80 gigs somewhere. I just don't remember how much I have. I have to go look. So I got rid of everything that I have on archive.org from episodes 1 to 199. So it's a start. I'll be working on that this week. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Boy, I tell you what, a little hairy there when I was deleting the tables in the database on the tllts.org site. So now it only shows episodes 839 to present. Well, that's not true, because there was already audio files on tlls.org, so it's got like a hodgepodge of episodes from 110. I think it has episodes 110 to
377, and then it goes from episodes 839 to present. So that'll all be fixed eventually. I have the next 2 days off, so there we go. All right. Yep. I guess I should play us out here instead of doing all this. Don't forget the Hacker Public Radio.
Yep, New Year's. Coming up quick.
Yeah. All right, here are your promos, and we'll see you in a week. Happy, happy. Keep safe.
Eat it. Hey, folks, it's that time of year again. Time for the Hacker Public Radio 24 Hours New Year's Eve show. We encourage everyone to join us for stimulating conversation and maybe send a Happy New Year's greeting to the HBR community. We plan on starting at 10 a.m. UTC December 31st, also known as 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will keep the recording going until 12 a.m. UTC January 1st, also known as 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless people are still on and talking. To join us, all you have to do is install Mumble. It is available on all platforms, including iOS and Android. Then, just create a nick and go to hackerpublicradio.org for the server details. Connect, join the Hacker Public Radio room, and you're there. If you can't join us in Mumble but would like to hear the show live, we will have a stream up so you can listen. You can go to hackerpublicradio.org for the server details of the stream. So come on and join us. It's always a good time.
Oh my God, it's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mmm. Delicious.
Mmm. Delicious. What are you eating?
Nothing. Nothing right now.
Nothing.
I made a pecan pie, a pumpkin pie. And when I went to go get my second piece of pecan pie the next day, it was all gone.
It was gone.
It was very disappointing. And now I got to make another one sometime.
Yes, sir.
I made a lot of pie crust last week. Got sick of pie.
Love it.
I love pie. Right? Got sick of making it. I make it make
pie's good.
Dun dun dun. All right, I'm gonna stop recording. Say goodbye. Good night, Joel.
Joel? Good night, Joel.
There we go. All right, stop.
Watching the first season?
I just finished the first season.
Hola, cómo está? Oh.
¿Y bien, y tú?
Bien.
Mm-hmm.
Yo quiero dos tacos, una enchilada y taquitos.
I had fish, but I have no idea how to say that in Spanish.
Pesca.
Pescador. Yep. I had a McRib.
Oh, they started that today, right?
Actually, I think it was yesterday.
I'm going to have to get
it. It doesn't
one.
Matter when they started it. It's disgusting.
Come on.
It's memories, man. Why that's what it is.
Chopped up pork reformed into a
it's because of my time in the military.
It's a pork burger.
No, I once had this field exercise.
Yes, because they used to give them to
pizza
you.
Pizza.
No, I had this field exercise, and we were the odd man's out when it came to having our own people, you know, our own menu. So we rotated who we went with amongst the other batteries for our menu, and we ended up having
MRE.
And we ended up having essentially McRibs for 2 weeks in a row every day.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And that'll make you hate McRibs real quick.
It's an
quick.
MRE, yes.
It was an
no,
MRE?
No, it wasn't an MRE. No, they cooked McRibs and brought the crap out to us.
It wasn't an MRE?
It was not an MRE.
Oh.
They had it in these, like, giant metal... Because
they do have the...
heating trays.
They do have a barbecue pork MRE, but...
Well, they do. The chunked and formed, yeah. Or they did. I don't know what they have now.
Well, I also say it might have been dropped, because they do that frequently, but...
But yeah, two weeks of McRibs, and yeah, never again.
2 weeks of anything, you'd never want it again.
That's true, too, but it just brings back memories of Steve 1989 from MRE Info on YouTube, and his channel is entertaining as heck. Especially when he goes for the old MCIs and stuff that are quote, very, very questionable.
Is that the same? Edit. Is that the same channel that does MREs from around the world?
Yes. Yes, from around the world, including United States. Although there's like several guys. He's for me one of the best guys, but there's also Gundog. Gundog will really, like, if something looks bad, he will not even try it. See, 1989 is like, I don't know, let me take a bite of this. Oh, God, no! Like, the processed cheese spread. That's probably a year or two out of...
I used to love the jalapeno cheese spread from an MRE.
Yep.
So good.
The strange thing enough that, at least from watching this channel, probably the one thing that surprises you that's so good after like 50, 60 years is almost always the peanut butter.
Yeah, the peanut butter was decent. I mean, it's kind of hard to mess up peanut butter.
That reminds me, when I was in Scouts in 85, which was probably right around the time the MREs really started, well, a lot of times, like for lunch, like have the peanut butter and jelly in a pack of crackers as part of our lunch. And
well,
it was the MRE
was nice,
peanut butter and jelly. Yeah.
Because the MREs never came with peanut butter and jelly at the same time. You had to wheel and deal and trade to be able to have both.
Yep. Now, was the crackers? The crackers were just like institutional crackers. They weren't the sealed MRE crackers.
No, the MRE crackers were okay, but a lot of people really liked it when they came out with that flatbread in the MREs. Granted, this is 20 years ago that I'm talking about.
And of course, when you were in it, they didn't have the MRE pizza. Which I actually have tried, and it's actually, I haven't tried the whole meal, but like last summer, not this past summer, but the summer before that.
Honestly, if they had an MRE pizza, I wouldn't have eaten it. That sounds disgusting. I mean, considering the way MREs were at the time, it would have been soggy and nasty.
Actually, it's not that, but I will say this. The pepperoni, I wouldn't necessarily call pepperoni, because it was more like pepperoni jerky almost, because it was actually made by Bridgeford. So.
Ooh, the chili mac. And if you can get the jalapeno cheese with it and you mix it together and you heat it up, and yeah, that's good stuff. That's
pretty good. Did you ever have the Four Fingers of Death?
I don't know what that is.
Hot dogs.
I think I vaguely remember a hot dog MRE.
Yeah.
I also remember the...
From my understanding on that one, it was never good.
Yeah, the... I think it was a scrambled eggs MRE.
That just sounds fucking nasty.
It was, don't worry. It doesn't just sound nasty.
Yeah, anytime you put eggs in a retort pouch just doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah, and then, you know, trying to go to the bathroom later.
Now, actually, Steve 1989, I don't know if he's going to sell it, but like at Thanksgiving, he did a kind of a special where apparently he has a freeze dryer, so he made his own Thanksgiving meal freeze dried, like the meal cold weathers.
Mm.
So he dehydrated some turkey and sweet potatoes and gravy and potatoes and peas and carrots and like pumpkin pie filling. Actually, I would take that pumpkin pie filling. Looks so good. Before you even reconstituted it, just eat it straight as it was freeze-dried pumpkin pie filling.
I do like me some pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie is good. I kind of prefer pumpkin pie to sweet potato pie, although I like both. And it's hard to find sweet potato pie. Actually, well, not that hard. Now I think Walmart has a Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie. Yes, that Patti LaBelle.
Is that good or bad?
It's good. I liked it. Okay. It was good. She also had a custard pie too, and it was good too. Just plain custard pie. Mmm. I like pie.
Boom, 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 boom.
I should make a pecan pie for Christmas.
You should.
Pecan pie is like... I'd say it's probably my favorite pie.
I do enjoy a good pecan pie. It's just difficult to find good pecan pies.
It's even better when it's still warm. You put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on it.
Yeah, can't argue with that. I like whipped cream, though.
The proper amount, right? Like the whole can, right?
Yeah. More or less. What? There's hardly any sugar in it. Perfect.
This is true. Of course, now, see, and I'm mixed whether I like the whipped cream, you know, that you squirt on top of it. Or just Cool Whip out of the Cool Whip container in the frozen food section.
Either one, Cool Whip's perfectly fine.
That's what I was gonna say. They both are good, but I kind of prefer the Cool Whip, especially if it's just out of the freezer, maybe just a little bit frozen still. It's really good.
No, fresh. Sorry.
Well, fresh whipped cream, like
you get the heavy cream and you whip it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm with you there, 100%, Pat.
You know, and you gotta be careful with that too, because you can go a little bit too far when you're whipping cream and make butter.
Well, I've that's done that why before. You gotta watch it, man.
That's right. And put that sugar in too.
Yeah, Joel likes working that butter churn.
And they got you.
What?
You were dropping out. I think it's better now.
Okay. It sounds more like you're dropping out. I don't know if I was dropping out for anybody else, but you're cutting in and out.
Oh, is it happening to me?
That's a good question.
Ooh, mine says,
we need another person to chime in.
Lag.
I didn't hear anybody dropping out, as far as I could tell.
Well, I hear Joe drop out. He's going in and out, at least with me. But
I'm doing
fine.
What with you, you sick pervert?
Yeah.
You're better. No, you were going in and just like that. You were kind of
was that
that's how it sounded.
Was that while you were working the butter churn?
No.
Is that what they're calling it today?
The butter churn. And definitely butter over margarine, because margarine sucks. Anyway. There's 14 users in IRC.
All right. What time is it? Well, it's time to get started. Crap. Holy
it's
moly.
It's past time to get started. Let's go.
I ain't
moving around too much.
Turning too much butter.